You may like to turn in your Bible, if you would, over to the book of Isaiah and chapter 43. And in our study of Isaiah that you're looking at, before we get to that, or getting into that, when a person comes to know the Lord as their Savior, God makes for a unique relationship to God. So all believers that sit and believe and know the Lord as their Savior, it is to know Him, to have a relationship to God, not to anyone else, not to anything else, to Him, to God's wonderful person in whose presence we sit. Therefore, to lock that in, Israel was taken out of Egypt to go to Jerusalem, ultimately by way of the wilderness. To what? To know God. Isaiah 43, you know, verse 10. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen. Now, you want to ask yourself, if you were an Israelite, what am I chosen for? In verse 10, that you may know and believe me, may know me and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Verse 11, I am the Lord. Beside me there is no Savior. So if you're going to ask yourself, if you're an Israelite, what are we doing out here in the wilderness at Mount Sinai to know God? Not to sit in a group and not to go to a gathering or something or belong to something. It's a relationship that is to be exercised. That relationship, as we shared Sunday, is demonstrated by the assembling of the believers together to represent one person, Christ in each of them. Christ, one body. Now, having said that, on your way over to Jeremiah, and in Jeremiah chapter 29, well, before that, Jeremiah chapter 9, to do that one at least. Jeremiah chapter 9, picking up if I can, in verse 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this. What is that? That he standeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So to know God. Now, back over, if you can, chapter 23, Jeremiah. Now, the false prophets in Babylon are being rebuked in chapter 29. And the false prophets in Jerusalem are now they're all in the same group, and God is hitting both ends, Jerusalem and Babylon, so that there's no way that you can be in Babylon false prophets didn't want those that were taken captive to be able to be excused from the messages of the false prophets in Jerusalem. Therefore, the false prophets in Babylon echoed the same message. as the false prophets in Jerusalem, so that the Jew, whether he's in Babylon or Jerusalem, is going to hear the same message. Hear the same message. False message, a lie. Now, God, why don't we know? Now, why, God, did you, why do you speak and go so clearly against the false prophets? Chapter 23, Jeremiah, verse 22. Speaking of the false prophets, etc. If they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. But the false prophets did not do that. Verse 28. And in verse 28, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat? Saith the Lord, we don't eat the waste, we eat the wheat. Verse 29. Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord? Like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. And so here's all the false prophets on both ends, Babylon and Jerusalem, going and speaking and doing what they do. And in order to, as we share together, chapter 29, of that they were doing what? How were they getting away with it? Why weren't the people quick to detect something is wrong? They weren't doing it because they weren't that far along. Looking, they looked at things from a secular material point of view. In chapter 29 and verse 9, remember, and they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. And we share together, that's their whole point, in my name. That's the only way you can get away with it, is God, because temple, God, Jerusalem, the Bible, Moses, you have to use God. And they used it, in my name. And you'd find it elsewhere as you're reading chapter 21, verse 21, verse 23, etc. In my name, in my name, in my name. And therefore, the judgment that was going to be executed was to be executed against the false prophets. And we shared together last time to remember in 2 Corinthians 11 and that, that the devil, the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air, that encourages and stimulates false prophets and false everything, a lie, make a lie, so we don't know the truth. And he uses apostles, sent ones. He uses the devil himself as an angel of light, the devil does, angel of light. His ministers of ministers, servants of righteousness, right things, say right things and do right things. That's what they do. That's the only way to get away with it, is in my name. And here's the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air, are doing what they do and how they do, the demons, etc. They're doing it. So as they do that actively, and here's the whole world, the world system under the domain. So God, here we are. And we're looking, and we're seeking to understand as we read. So may I remind you and myself, over if you would to Romans and chapter 15. Romans in chapter 15. What are we doing with the Bible, the Word? That's what the false prophets, priests, do not want the human heart to hear God personally, his word. They don't, that's what you got a Bible, everything, but not his word. Not his word. Not his word. Now, and so therefore, keeping that in mind, Romans chapter 15, here we are, God looking at his word. We're looking at Jeremiah. We could look at Genesis. So God, why do we do it? Because, here's a straight way, chapter 15, as you would guess, verse 4. For whatsoever things are written, we're just reading about them aforetime, were written for our learning, purpose, that we, through patience, bearing up under the load, and the comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now the God of patience, bearing up under the load, and consolation, comfort, grant you to be like-minded, one toward one another, according to Christ Jesus. So God, where are we going to get unity? We're going to get unity by understanding what God says. I'm going to get it. This side understands what God said, and this side amens what God said. That's what makes unity. It isn't we all do something together. That's a different kind. So God, what are we going to do? The Scriptures are given for our learning, for our wonderful, wonderful learning. Now, God, in the process of all of that wonderful thing, or if I can, I'll give you one other thing just to lock it in. 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, just to remind you and lock it in. 1 Corinthians 10, sliding down in the light of rehearsing the Old Testament message, learning to learn from it, from Moses. Chapter 10, 1 Corinthians, down to verse 6. Now these things were our examples to the intent, the purpose, that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Keep sliding along all the way over to verse 11. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. So God, you want us to understand. So why did you bother writing, God didn't write everything. He only wrote down that which would help about human beings seeking to understand God and have a relationship to God and why they don't have a relationship to God. Now, back over to the Old Testament, with that in mind, Deuteronomy and chapter 3. I know, better go past that. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, God rehearsing after, this is the 40th year in the wilderness. So 40 years approximately have gone by. And the Jews that are standing there, all the people of Israel, and they're listening. Here's Moses rehearsing 40 years and the Exodus 20 and all of the wonderful things, putting it all together for them before they cross the Jordan. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 1. Well, I'll go down to verse 2 for time's sake. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, and to prove, put to the test, to know what was in thine heart. So the whole point of things is to where is your heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or not, or no. For he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Neither didst thy fathers know. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob never had manna. And neither did thy fathers know that purpose he might make thee know what? That man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So every word of God, and where does the word come from? Out of the mouth of God. All Scripture is God-breathed, 2 Timothy 3. all breathe. So God, we're supposed to know, they're supposed to know God. After 40 years of shepherding them in the wilderness, and they have the Word of God, Genesis to Deuteronomy, and they have that in their hand, as it were, and they have that, and it is that they're going to live by the Word of God. And it's all written down. God said, God write. God said, write. W-R-I-T-E, right. So every word proceeds out of the Word of God. And the whole purpose, and when they did that, and the test to show when they honored the Word of God and honored the God in whose presence they were, and if you reminding yourself in the wilderness, every morning you get up, there's the cloud, no matter where you sat in Israel, and boy, they were spread out. You have to think of 2.5 million people with tents, etc. You can't imagine, like a state of Rhode Island or something. And no matter where you sat, there's the cloud. And when you went to bed, there's the fire. The cloud, the fire, the cloud, the fire, the cloud, the fire. Everyone know, are you in the presence of God? And now you got the Word of God. So in the presence of God, they were to know the Word of God and go by the Word of God. God was going to step aside and leave them His Word, as it were. So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, jumping over, if I can, for us. Now God, and here we are looking. And by the way, it's written. So they were to have the written Word. And they were to know God. It's a relationship. Now, we shared it, and just to remind myself and yourself, without turning there, in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, 1, 2, and 3, the Word is God, the Word was God, the Word is God, God is the Word, the Word. He created everything, the Word. What happened to God? God, what did you do? The Word. God, the Word, singular, you're the Word. And John 1 and 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So here's God, and the Lord Jesus Christ brings forth the Word, that's God, in His flesh and blood. So God, the Word, from which and by which all of the words come from, all of the Old Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ standing in front of him wherever he was the author of all that they have, that they could hold in the synagogue, in the temple, in the Bible, the scroll, the Isaiah scroll. He is the one who gave Isaiah. He's the one. They're in his presence. Wow. Did they know it? No, they didn't connect. They didn't connect that at all. So, God, why do you write the Gospel of John? Because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And therefore, John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, and the privilege to become children of God, even to them that believe in his name. He gave him that wonderful right. To what? To believe in him in a most, most wonderful way. So, God, when I receive God in Christ, into the heart, the believer that does that, into their heart, they do that. And God, so when you receive Christ into your heart, is the Bible that you have in your hand, that you may, I hope you have, the Bible, the God's Word, in the original languages, the Word is the Bible. When you say Christ is your Savior, did you not receive the person who said from Genesis all the way to Revelation, ultimately? Did you receive him? You received him as your Savior, and you received the author of the book in front of you. So when you open your Bible, you house the God who gave the words that you're reading. Do you understand that? I brought out a copy of the simple thing, but wonderful. This is the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And if I could get Madison and Jefferson and Hancock and all of them and get them now, and here it is. These are awesome words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, etc. Wow, we hold them. We got that. Now, so I can read this, and I'm supposed to. I want to read it and understand it a little bit. So I try to do that now. And I try to do that. Now, but do you know if I was sitting in the presence and after John Hancock had just signed this and signed it, and then Jefferson and Madison leaned over, and I pick up the document, the declaration. I could pick it up like this, and Madison sitting there. I said, I said, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. And I look up, and there's Jefferson. Jefferson, where did this come from? We hold this truth. And I look at the men, and they're the ones that said it. Right? They're standing in front of me, make believe. There they are. Wow. So as I read this, and they're standing in front, at that time in history, it was for real, what I'm just saying. And they can read it. And the authors, the originators that wrote this are standing right in front of me. Right in front of me. That's awesome, isn't it? So whether I read this or not, I don't even have to read it. I can just ask them, well, what does this mean? You've got your Bible right in front of you. Now, I can't do that with this document, and I can't do that with a lot of other things that I wish. I have wonderful things way back many, many years ago. Some of them way back to 1640, actually. I have them, but I don't have the authors there. I have the books. I have them. I love them. I love being in among such people. I live in it. I live in the atmosphere. It's wonderful. But they can't talk to me. But the Bible in your hands, if you're saved, God in your heart said it. And he's right here and now, here, and as we're assembled together, and when you're all alone in the middle of the night, he's right there. If you're saved, to enjoy what? All the words, he said them. That's important. Because then the Bible here we are, and God, what are we supposed to do with the Bible? Well, here's the Constitution. I can't only do so much. And it doesn't mean much today anyway, because I just uphold the Constitution, and it doesn't mean a thing. Obviously. So, in the process, what are we supposed to do, God? God, we have a relationship to you and to your word that is written. And you said it. And you understand it. And you said, Isaiah, etc., etc. We're supposed to know you and honor you and understand that who you are and what you're doing and why you're doing it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're supposed to know you. Okay. What am I supposed to do? Believe. Believe. He didn't say understand first. He said believe. At Mount Sinai, would you have, it didn't happen. At Mount Sinai, when God was speaking, Do you think anyone said, who do you think he is speaking like that? Do you think anyone ever said that to him? No, they were afraid of dying. That's what they were doing. They were afraid of dying. Wow, right. So God, here we are. We're in your presence, and we have your word, and the word. So God, what are you asking us? It's your word. You're speaking. I got it in front of me. Wow. Over, if you would please, to John chapter 6. And in all of this, what's it for? Among other things, to what? So when you hear the Bible and read the Bible, your whole manner and mood is teachable. You're learning because you understand the relationship. If you don't, 98% of people that say they're Christians, I'll bet you, a good 98%, maybe higher. Christians that read, Christians don't read the Bible like that. I know they don't. The whole world would be different. Everyone would be different. But they don't do that. We read the Bible, devout devotions, we did it. And then we go about our business and our family, our friends, our ills and aches and ups and downs, and we do it. But we weren't in the presence of God, and we aren't in the presence of, we need to be in the presence of God to read so that we understand, God, what are we supposed to do? Believe. John chapter 6, picking up that in the context again that you know, verse 63. It is the Spirit, 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. Now, nothing is nothing. I say that because he said, if you accept, you abide in me, and I abide in you, John 15:5, without me you can do what? Nothing. Nothing means how much? Nothing. Can you find something in nothing? You can't find anything in nothing, no matter how you do it. No flesh shall glory in my presence. Nothing. So, but the guy's an intellect. The guy's a genius. What has to happen to the genius and the intellect? Paul was certainly one of the higher people as far as intellects go. He said, I count everything I understand as dung to know him. All my knowledge, this is back over to righteousness, Isaiah. All my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Nothing. God, that's right. When God spoke at Mount Sinai, there's no argument and there's no debate and there's no one in all of forever that's going to argue. God speaking. God in me, in Christ, in you, has given you his word. And the Bible in front of you is the one, that's where did the Bible in front of you came from, the one you received as your Savior. And you either understand that a little half an inch. I'm not going to give you a foot, just half an inch. If you had faith as the grain of what? A little seed. You got a big, no. If you just have a little bit correct thinking and you practice it, but if you don't practice it, it's not going to go anywhere. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. It doesn't go anywhere. I want people, and doesn't matter who they are, what relatives or anything about anything. I'm just telling you, They aren't going to go anywhere. You're doing it. You're trying to grow and teach and preach and everything in yourself because you care and you love people and you want to help people. But so does God. And God can do it. I can't, and neither can you. So God has to do it. And if that's how we're going to go, and that's what people do, I'm telling you, it's not going anywhere. And the proof of it is, right now in the age in which you live, in our own country, let alone other countries. What is it, Australia? That was a few years ago. I don't know what it is now. The average attendance of a congregation in Australia was 25. That's years ago. I have no idea what it is now. Wow. Now, so, the words that I speak unto you, we got to get to the big part. Verse 63, prophet, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The Spirit of God is going to bring his word, bring the word to you. Now, does God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, does God the Father and the Son honor God the Holy Spirit? And the Spirit of God's ministry is to do what I just said, to bring all of those words that Christ made possible by his death on the cross, to make all of that truth, all of the truth, to know the God who said all of that truth, to know that God, to honor that God, and thus the words God, Christ said them, I'm supposed to believe, hang on, and in the process, the Spirit of God's going to go and honor those words. So I read the words, and you can read your Bible, and we memorize it, and all those wonderful things that we can try to do. But having said that, the Spirit of God's ministry is to make all of that in your Bible, in the original language, in front of you, real. It isn't your job. It isn't my job. It's God's. God makes it real. It's real to God. How's that? I don't make it real. It doesn't matter whether I like it or you like it or no one likes it. It doesn't make any difference. It's just true to God. And the Spirit of God honors that in you. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life. They're pregnant with full of meaning. And that's what we're looking at. I'm trying to get you to see the riches. How is that little seed in the word going to grow? When you receive the Lord as your Savior and you're looking to God to grow and know, what does he want you to do? We read it in Isaiah 43, Jeremiah 9. What does he want us to do? To grow, to know. So we're going to keep growing and knowing. That's what we're going to do. Knowing what? God. And what happens after 10 years and you're looking to see how much they know God? How much do we grow in the light of what we know? I don't know. Where's the evidence? See? It's a simple relationship, isn't it? Because it isn't up to you and me to understand. All we're to do is believe. Over to John, and chapter 6. And in John chapter 6, picking up, please. I said John 6, didn't I? Hang on, where do I want to go? Well, that was a good thought. That's another good thought. Oh, if I can, we hold these truths. Okay, John chapter 6, thank you. Thank you for bearing with me as we work through that. John chapter 6, I had to work through all those different things. You don't care about them, but, you know, which piece of the puzzle goes where? Did you get it? Which piece do you put in the now? Now, chapter 6, or if I can, in the light of that, you remember, verse 28, that said, then said they unto him, Pharisees, Sadducees, and all the young people, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And you remember, the answer is a very simple one. They wanted to know what they could do, all the different wonderful miracles of feeding or something. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, singular. What is that? That you believe on him whom he has sent. Now, if you're going to sum up, it isn't hard. God gives us speaking. God is God's word. Now, God, what do you want me to do? Believe what I'm reading, what you're reading. Believe it. He didn't say understand it. Believe it. What? Believe what? God said it. All scripture is inspired by God. John chapter 5 and all that. Read the scriptures, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And no matter where you read, it's about him, he said. Luke 24, 27, 44. From prophets, from Moses all the way down, read the Bible. What? It's all about God. What's it all about? Knowing God. Why'd you give it? To know him. To know him. What are we supposed to do? Believe. Simply believe. But, no, we want to debate and read it and come and go. That's what we do. And I don't see any growth. I don't see change. I see the same thing. And I don't want to see it in my own life either. I want to grow. There's no question. I want to know. No question. Now, over if you would, in John chapter 14. On your way, stop in chapter 8. Just happened to open up to it. John chapter 8. And may I pick up again, directly in light of the context, in the light of everything. Verse 45. I'll read verse 44. You want to have your father the devil? The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh, he speaketh a lie. That's why the false prophets do what they do. That's why he's the devil, the angel, comes as an angel of light. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. You don't believe. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, but you don't believe. What's the problem, God? I told you. What can we do? What are we supposed to do, God, with you? Believe him. Believe him. Is that hard? Sure it is. Our old nature says nothing doing. I hate that. It says no flesh or glory in his presence. I hate that. I'm going to rip it out. I hate that statement. I don't want to see that. That's what we do. Believe. Either believe or you don't. Chapter 14. In chapter 14, picking up, if I may, you'll catch the flavor of it. You'll remember the up in the upper room and telling him, if you've seen, Philip wants to know, can I see the Father? And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Therefore, verse 10, 14, 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or at least, believe me, for the way it works' sake. What do you keep asking? Tell us to believe me. You don't want to believe who I am. You don't want to believe where I came from. You don't want to believe. Would you believe what I did? I heal the thousands of sick, they feed them. At least believe me. Do what? Believe. Is that so hard? Believe. You see? What are we supposed to be doing? We're believers, supposed to be believers, coming together to what? To believe. And everyone doesn't believe. I know that. That's the trouble. But we're supposed to believe. And if we don't believe, all we're doing is collecting information, and we aren't talking about 1 + 1 = 2. We're sort of advancing, and we should. Otherwise, we'd be going down and give you John 3:16 every week. Every week we give you John 3:16 and Genesis 3:16 and Exodus 3:16, and I just give you the same thing over and over and over and over again. But we don't do that. So that makes it hard for people, because you'd have to grow. We don't stay at 1 plus 1. We're 10 plus 10 algebra. We're trying to get along. We're supposed to grow. That's what we're doing today. It's a very simple truth. But it's you'll go a long way if you get a little in your mind. You'll go a long way to find that. It says it in God's Word, but you'll go a long way to hear it. I'm telling you, you can go to probably a lot of Christians, and they won't know what you're talking about. I don't believe God does that. No, God doesn't do that. God doesn't. I'm a Christian, but God doesn't do that. Well, they missed out. You missed out the whole point. So now, and therefore, in God's whatever we do, and remember to ask in His name, in His name. And here, while you're reading it, you might as well hit it while you're looking at it. And verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth, there we are again, on me. Remember what you read in John 6? What can I do to work the works of God? Believe me. All right? Here's verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father, as we shared together. So God, that's what's going to happen. That's right. God's going to keep doing. Why is God going to keep doing it? Because God is going to be in you, outworking his will. He's outworking his word. You're believing his word, and God's taking all the will, his word, everything he has in mind about you and me and the world, and he's doing it because it's God's word. God is going to honor his word in your heart, and so we looking at the Bible, we're supposed to believe it, and that's believe, and God's going to do what he's going to do. That's what he's going to do. That's what he does. But just believe him. He didn't do anything. Just believe. Nothing to it. God said it. I'm doing it. I'm not doing it. You're not doing it. God's doing it. So I don't say it. Well, you bet your boots he's doing it. Now, therefore, verse 13. Chapter 14, verse 13. Whatsoever shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. What did the false prophets rob Israel of? They robbed Israel of God being God among them. They didn't enjoy God in the temple, out of the temple. They didn't enjoy him. Nope, they didn't enjoy him. Now, so therefore, and they had all the false prophets saying in his name, it was a lie to make you believe something that was never going to be true. And what is really true, which is what we're looking at, is unbelievable. It's unbelievable, but it's true. I told you the truth, and you didn't believe me. All you had to do was believe. Oh, there must be something. No, I just wanted you to believe. Do you believe I am who I am? I do. Do you believe I'm the only Savior? I do. Do you believe I said what I mean and mean what I say? I do. That's what I do. Read it. You see? Wow. Now, God, and in my name, I'll do it at verse 14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. What did the false prophets want? They wanted to use his name without any power for deception. God wants you to use his name. That's the basis of all that you have. It's Christ in you. We ask if anything in his name. Why do we have such a relationship to God? Because we received Christ as our Savior, and we became children of God, sons of God, joint heirs of God. We became all of new creatures in Christ. We became all such things when we got saved, when we came to know the Lord as our Savior. And so all we have to do is believe. Believe, 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 believe. That's what we need to do. And the Spirit of God does such a wonderful thing. Now, over if you would, over in closing, I hope you got a little bit. We just got started, but I hope you're getting it. It's pretty simple. Not many understand this simple thing. Because knowing the Lord as your Savior is a very simple thing, a very wonderful thing. And you believe. That's why God loves little children. That's why God wants your heart to be like a little child. So what do? Little children are just delighted. They're delighted, depending what age and everything, they're delighted to play with the doll. They're delighted to play with the potatoes under the pantry sink. They're delighted, to be in the family, to be with a father. Little children, what do little children do? They just believe. That's what they do. They don't ask for a big explanation. They just believe. That's what we like about little children. They just believe, you know. God made the world, they believe it. God's able to save whosoever, they believe. Say, we get a little older. Wow. Now, God, having said that, 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, picking up, please. You'll catch it. Chapter 1, 2 Corinthians. I'm going to go directly to verse 20, if I can. 1 and 20, 2 Corinthians. For all the promises of God in Christ are yes, yea, and in him, amen, so be it. Unto the glory of God, why not? Why shouldn't it be? And then the two little words, how does God show that? By us. That's us. That's us, believers. That's what we're doing here. By us. By us. By means of us. Why? Because God in you gave those promises. God's the one that gave them. God's the one that wrote them down. God's the one that keeps his word. By us. All the promises. So the Bible. So no matter where I read in the Bible, I'm to believe. And God makes all of it work that belongs and needs to be outworked. And if you didn't catch that magnificent thought, over to chapter 2. Verse 14, you know it. Now thanks be unto God, which always means always, causes us to triumph, to have the victory, to prevail. Always causes us to triumph. In Christ, where? In Christ. and maketh manifest, clear, public, plain, the savor, the smell, the fragrance, the odor, maketh manifest, public, plain, the savor, the smell of his knowledge. How, what's the next two words? By us. Mm-hmm. By us. Because what's the whole point? You're supposed to know him. That's what we're doing. We aren't sitting here to have a game plan or something. It isn't an exercise. It's an experience. Life. By us. God, we're supposed to know you. That's right. Isaiah 43:10. We're supposed to know you. Supposed to know you. And in knowing you, what? Well, we're going to go. And since we know you, you know, and the things you do, whatever you do, go to work, homeschool, play, whatever you do, people, persons, friends, don't you know them? You do. People may not know. But if they ask, 1 Peter 3:15, ask you a reason of the hope that's within you. Tell them. The God in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wow. I'm saved. God. That's unbelievable. Oh, that's just true. That's true. That, by the way, the world didn't believe that God was in Christ either, did they? So don't be surprised. They crucified him. They didn't believe. And he rose again and said, you guys are dead wrong. I'm going to show you how. With whosoever's to believe, sinners, saved by grace, and I'm going to be in them, honoring my word as they're believing, believers, be believing. And I'm going to honor my word. Wow.